You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and today I'm joined by my usual co-host, Pastor David.
Yep.
And you guys, we have Pastor Tyler here today.
Good morning.
Yay.
He's bringing the energy.
He is. I can already feel it.
I got my Irish cream in my coffee in celebrating St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that.
Did you guys do anything special yesterday?
No.
Like, I know none of us are going out anymore.
I do nothing for St. Patrick's
Yeah.
Day.
Yeah.
I got pinched by my wife.
Oh, that's well done, Amy.
Yeah.
You probably had it coming.
Oh, well, I don't wear green.
So. I don't remember.
Thought about having
yesterday.
A bowl of Lucky Charms, but I ended up not having that.
I always make corned beef brisket.
Oh.
Because Scott and Tyler like it because it's so salty, you know, they like salty stuff. But I don't always do it like right on the day. It just kind of happened to work out this year because I kind of forgot about it. And so I went to the store Monday night so we could have it yesterday. And it was delicious. Yeah.
No, my evening activities for St. Patrick's Day was to have deep theological discussions with a group of men downstairs.
Awesome.
So that was it.
And then, elder meeting night or no?
Well, elder, yes. Elder plus a mixture of some other
okay.
that participate.
Good deal.
So
yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
It was a good night.
Good conversations, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I always enjoy them, but I always like, you know, yeah, I always, when those questions, I was like, well, ask somebody else because I'm biased because...
Well, I thought it was a really good night.
There, because you're facilitating. Because
I'm facilitating it. Like, man, those questions were great.
Yeah. People were very engaged. The men in the room, very engaged.
Yes.
It was good conversation.
Yeah. And you guys recently are coming off of, I feel like this has been a lot of talking this past, maybe that's why you're so tired today, David.
I am just people drained, yeah, maybe.
Because, so you guys had,
all day Saturday.
Didn't do like a full elder retreat this year, but yeah, you did a whole day.
Did a day.
Just this past Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of talking.
It was, that's all it was.
And peopling.
Yes.
So.
It was a lot of talking and horses. I got to see horses.
And then so. We had a long staff meeting yesterday.
Yeah.
You had, what, parent-teacher conferences, so
I
that's
did,
talking
and then, peopling. Well, Monday's normally my quiet day, and
oh, and everybody was
canceled,
home,
so yeah.
You didn't get that decompression time by yourself. Man, and then last night you had your elders and guys
all making
here.
Sense.
It's been a long week.
It has been.
It's did not, you have stuff on Sunday, too,
Wednesday.
After church?
No. No, we canceled the... Normally we have formation class that night,
okay,
but that
yeah,
got canceled,
yeah,
so
okay.
No. No. I ended up, I do remember, I did take a nap on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, well, good.
So
you probably needed it.
I do remember I did that. And then I hung up pictures.
Yeah.
Family pictures for my wife.
What did you, you're such a good husband. What did you do Monday all day with your family then, since we were all home? Did you
Monday's
watch
a
movies
blur for me. No, no.
Or do
no.
anything fun?
No, what did we do? I don't even remember what we did. I had a run. We had a run. Piper's. We did some running. I know we did that. I think we went grocery shopping. Like, it wasn't like a stressful day, but it was
okay.
It was laid back.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Yeah.
I know you enjoy this, too, because you will post about it on Facebook, but we always really enjoy showing Tyler old movies,
oh, yeah,
like old
yeah.
classics that yeah. we think are classics, you yeah. know? That's I don't know why that's so fun,
yeah.
but it is.
I love doing it if my yeah. kids actually watch them.
Yeah.
We tried
well, see,
to
Tyler
watch.
Tyler will watch them.
We tried to watch Zootopia, too.
Oh,
my,
why?
Well, we liked the first one.
Okay.
It was funny. I think we made it like 15 minutes into it and Piper's falling asleep. And
yeah.
It was, yeah.
We haven't watched like an animated kids movie and I don't even know how long because Tyler's not in that stage and he won't watch them. And so we just don't anymore. I kind of miss them.
I still watch them.
Hmm.
Like I still.
I need to watch them again. I guess I watched that K-pop one.
See, I didn't watch that.
But I just watched that by myself. What do you do on Monday? Because that's your day off too, right?
Yeah. Well, it was snowing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I drove to Cedar Rapids.
Of course you did.
And I came home and scooped my neighbor's driveway and my driveway. And then not much.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Usually you are like a busy guy. Like you like to be doing stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Played some Nintendo.
Oh, hey. All right. Way to relax. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. So we just kind of drug Tyler into this today. So,
yeah.
And we have no outline.
Nope.
So I'm going to apologize ahead of time.
She's peeling back the curtain.
I mean, we do wing it a lot, but I feel like usually we have some sort of an outline. So, I mean, this could be 30 minutes. It could be 2 hours. I don't know.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. But today, you guys, I hope everyone's excited. I feel like there was like excitement and like a buzz in the air when you announced what we were going to talk about this week on the podcast, which is the Nephilim.
Yeah, Nephilim.
That the strange Nephilim that you read about in the Bible, but don't really know.
Don't know nothing about them.
Who are they?
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about who they are or who we think they are. They were.
Yeah.
And probably get into some of the different views, because there are different views. There's not agreement on who they were.
Nope.
And so let's get into it.
Okay. Nephilim.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you would say the definition of is of Nephilim, because I've seen a little bit of contradicting definition.
So the two major things that I've heard as far as the definition of the word is fallen ones.
Yes.
Or actual giants.
Yes, those are the two.
Two extremely different.
Yeah, which is it?
Well, that's the beauty of it. It's kind of like we don't know. I mean, we really don't. I think we need to say
it off the Hebrew.
Yes.
Words.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we have to say on the onset here, we're going to talk about the Nephilim, but I don't want anybody to walk away from this being like, that's exactly, you know, because at the end of the day, we don't know. Right. I mean, it just needs to be said. We just don't know. I have where I land with it, but I'm basing that off of the evidence that I have that makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's not like, oh, I'm hanging my theology on that
Same.
One.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it doesn't ultimately matter other than the truth of what God was doing because of them. And I think we'll pull some of that out, I hope, today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just want to say that on the outset.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Like, no, nobody said here, like, oh, we know, you know, exactly what it is. So, anyways.
Right.
But okay. Yeah, those are the two I've heard. Fallen ones and
giants.
And giants.
Okay.
Or mighty. Like, that word giant, like, it speaks of, like, a mightiness to them.
Sure.
Maybe not in stature of giant, but that's kind of where that came from.
So one thing when we were first discussing this podcast, you mm-hmm. and I, in my brain, I always thought there were just two explanations.
Mm-hmm.
And you said there was a third one, which was intriguing to me. So do you want to maybe say,
okay,
explain where you kind of land?
Yeah.
First,
what's intriguing about you saying that is I remember very vividly us having the conversation over here
uh-huh.
at your door. And I'm racking my brain of like, what's the third
one?
Well,
maybe
what's
it'll the come to you.
So maybe.
Because then you're gonna have to remind me. And I feel like land in different places.
Yeah.
So maybe you discuss where you're at.
Okay.
And then I'll discuss where.
So you just want me to discuss where I'm at?
Or yes.
And you want to explain your where you're at?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll let Tyler pick a side.
Yeah. Well, then Tyler can make up his own third.
Okay.
Like,
and I mean, you know.
In actuality, guys, in my deep study.
Yeah.
You don't know
tell us who's wrong.
You don't know how prepared I am.
I know, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so this is where I land. I and when I say land, I'm not, again, I'm not like firm. It's just mm-hmm. it makes sense to me. So when you read this, the word Nephilim there's reference, and this is all in Genesis chapter 6 towards the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how the daughters of men or the sons of God, you know, were intermarried or married with the daughters of men. And then there's kind of this reference that the Nephilim came from that. Like the Nephilim, that's one of the theories. Like the Nephilim are the byproduct or the offspring of the sons of God and the daughters of men. So now the debate is, and I'm not going to go into it, I'll let you mm-hmm. know, whatever direction you're going, a lot of the debate is, well, who are the sons of God? Who are the daughters of men? So this is, again, we say this a lot, or I try to say it a lot, let the Bible define the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I land. The only other time that sons of God, that phrase, is used in the Old Testament is all in reference to angels. So, or angelic beings. So the primary place that it's used is in Job. So Job uses a lot saying, like, so when the Bible says that the sons of God came before God, that's reference to the angelic beings came and gathered before God. So that's where we see it, and then it's used a couple other times. Another place is used in the Old Testament is actually Daniel. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar looks in and he says, I thought there were three. Why do I see four? I see one that looks like a son of God, mm-hmm. right? So we believe, you know, I believe that was Christ. But in Nebuchadnezzar's mind, he's like, I see this spiritual being, this angelic being. So I fall kind of more into the camp of the sons of God being angelic beings that left their domain, the domain that God given them, and entered into physical relationships with actual humans, daughters of men and the sons of God. Because another reference of why I say scripturally, Jude makes reference back to this. Jude talks about angels that left their abode or left their station in the times of Noah. Like, there's this reference back even in the New Testament, back to the Old Testament, that there were angels that, now he doesn't say what they did. He just said, so when you put all the pieces together, that's where I land more towards this is a spiritual being that forsakes its position where God called it to be and enters into an inappropriate relation with mankind. So that's the overall very quick. Now, I don't know how much you want me to go into this right now. So what I mean by that is, because some people will say, so some of the disagreements to that one would be, well, wait a minute, Jesus says angels don't marry, right? Well, Jesus does say that, but Jesus doesn't say that they can't marry. He says that they don't marry. And then also, when Jesus brings that up, Jesus says the angels in heaven don't do that. So those are angelic beings that haven't rejected their station. They haven't rejected their abode, right? So, I mean, it's kind of splitting hairs, but I'm just saying, like, it's not a declarative statement that Jesus is saying, like, they can't do this. He's saying they don't do this. So that's like one of the biggest objections. And then the other big objection is it just seems extremely weird to us, which I get. That's why I'm tracking with that. It just seems really weird. It's beyond my pay grade to know what that looks like and how that works and all that. But here's one of the other reasons I kind of fall that direction is because we know angels can take human form. We just don't know, again, we don't know the degree they can, because because you go to the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. They sat with, you know, so it was God, which I believe it was Jesus. There was three of them. So it was Jesus and two other angels actually sat and ate with Abraham. So they're consuming food. Mm-hmm. They're interacting with physical things, but they're spiritual beings. They go to Sodom and Gomorrah and the men of the city lust after them. So there's a physical presence there. Now we know nothing happened as far as the sexual of that, but we know they take physical form. The Bible also tells us that, you know, in the New Testament it says some of us have entertained angels and we don't even know it. So we can actually have interaction with. So we know from scripture, angels have a physicality that they can put on, mm-hmm. but again, it's beyond us because So I'm going to admit that. I'm going to admit that. I'm just basing it off that. Those are my evidences that make me lean that way. So,
and I would say from all the different studies I've done, people are split. Like people that I respect and really appreciate their commentary and their studies, it's completely split down the middle versus like with what you were saying and kind of the place where I think I've fallen. Although you are very convincing, David. So I'll just throw that out there.
I'm not trying to win sides.
Right. And the people that I've heard that would fall where you fall are extremely convincing too. So that's the beauty of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I would land. Just because, like, if you look at the preceding text that we see this in Genesis, There is an unrighteous line that it's genealogies is the preceding text. So there's an unrighteous line and a righteous line. Mm-hmm. So to me, it would make sense from a continuity standpoint with the genealogies there that that's what it would be, that it would be, like the simplest explanation would be that it's the line of Seth, which would be referred to as the sons of God because they were godly, started marrying the line of Cain, the daughters of men who were women who are beautiful, but ungodly, which to me makes the most sense. Like you, there's a lot more gymnastics. I feel like you have to do around the idea of fallen angels.
Oh, I get it.
I'm saying like you have to do a little more song and dance to get there. In my opinion, like mating with humans. I mean, and here's the thing, whoever they were bad at the end of the day. Right. Yeah.
Well, now that reminds, no, sorry, I don't want to.
No, you're
because that reminds me of the third point of view. The third point of view, and I do remember now, which I kind of, I don't want to say I lean this way also, but this one makes sense to me. Now, the Seth and Cain line thing for me is, it makes total sense. And I, again, it 100% could be. One of the things that I wrestle with that one is the idea, not saying that it's not legitimate, it's just, it seems like that is a, how to word this? It seems like the intermingling of a righteous line and an unrighteous line is something that's been happening all throughout human history.
Sure.
So it just seems like when you're talking about precursors, what's precursing the flood, maybe that's another reason like our brains want to make it bigger than that. I don't want to say that's simple, but that's more natural to us, which it 100% could be. Again, we don't know, because that's one of the things I thought was interesting is in my own study of this, a theologian brought up something extremely interesting about this idea of the fallen angels and all of that, that I never thought of before. Mm-hmm. And again, it's total speculation. But what he shared was, is that Satan has always been trying to stop the plans of God. And so if God's plan was to bring about salvation through the seed of woman, then Satan's first step is spiritual warfare to pollute the genealogy or to produce the basically the DNA of humanity. So that was one of the ways
which makes complete sense.
So that's one of the reasons he brought up, like, it kind of makes sense from a warfare kind of point of view that it kind of adds to the intermingling of fallen angels with, like, he's corrupting the human line. And then he says that kind of explains the flood a little bit better because God's like, it's so corrupted now, I have to wipe it out.
Yeah.
Which, and start with a pure.
Put a pin line in that because I have a question about that.
Yeah.
But I want to, first I want to go to Tyler and ask, like, your, like, what do you think? I'm just curious your thoughts.
My,
remember who your boss is. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. You are your own person, yeah, Tyler
Hinkle. You be you.
Thank you.
You.
Thank you. My my thought starts on you mentioned sons of God. That comes from verse 2. Then the Nephilim is actually a reference from verse 4. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is those are the same things.
So that's why I don't want to. You're actually hitting on theory number 3.
Okay.
So do you want theory number 3?
No. Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
This is so fun.
My perspective comes more from Jude because I've spent a lot more time in Jude than I have like studying specifically Nephilim. In Jude he says where did it go? I got my cell phone in front of me looking for the scripture.
It's one chapter.
What is it, like 17 verses or something like that?
Oh, boy.
The
angels, yes, the angels did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling. He has kept them in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. That, to me, points to... angelic beings that were here doing things they should not have been doing.
That's the verse that always gets me.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus, so he, Jude uses the uses he has kept them in chains. That's Jesus, because that he's. This is an extension of verse 5. Now, I want to remind you that although you once fully knew it, Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, and he goes on to say, and he has kept them in chains and gloomy darkness. So that's my take in a nutshell. Yeah. They were angelic beings here doing things they should not have been doing. Mm-hmm. And God said none of that.
And I appreciate you bringing up Jude actually reading it, because I looked it up as you were saying it. And what's interesting is when he says that about they're kept in eternal chains, that's verse 6. Verse 7 says, in a similar way. So when it says in a similar way, that's a reference back to what was just said. So, you know, he's using these angels. And so notice the language. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion, right? So it just reminded me again of that theologian I was listening to that he actually pulled that out, and he said, again, it doesn't necessarily prove anything. He's just saying, if you look at the language, Jude is making a connection of this. It was an issue of sexual perversion. So he just used it as, isn't it interesting that maybe what Jude is saying is whatever the angels that left their abode did is in similar fashion to sexual perversion or a sexual immorality.
Yep.
That it wasn't what God intended, mm-hmm. and it was a perversion, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. So again, I'm not saying that proves that point. I'm just saying he did pull that out. So you reminded me of that when you mentioned that mm-hmm. that he pulled that out. But there is a third option.
Yeah. So here, can I ask a question?
100%.
Okay. So here's what I, because you had said earlier that God wanted to wipe that out.
Yeah.
Right? So if we go back to Genesis... Genesis 4, it says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward,
yep.
when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and they bore children to them. So like, if we are to assume that the Nephilim are from angels and that the flood wiped them all out, then why
is it afterwards?
Why does it say that? Yeah. And why do they show up? Because they show up later in Canaan and other regions. Like it's in Joshua. Is it the Anak? I don't know if that's how you say it.
Yeah.
But that's like offspring of the Nephilim. Yeah. And so I guess to me, I'm like, okay, it makes sense if the Nephilim is more of a generic term for people who are just larger in stature. Yeah. And they, I don't know.
So
not this, necessarily a genetic lineage from.
This is why I would track with now option things. Number 3 also.
Yeah.
So this great segue. Yes. See, we don't even have an outline.
And look at us go.
We're segueing. because it does fit with. So again, this is listening to a Hebrew theologian that's schooled in the language. And I appreciated when I listened to his teaching on this. If you, and Tyler, you kind of hit on it. If you look at the verses 1-3, it's like Moses is talking about what's happening, sons of God, you know, and so he's creating a narrative of something that's happening that is wickedness before God. Now, whatever that is, it's wickedness before God. And then all of a sudden he says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. So like you said, this is verse 4. And also afterwards, when the sons of God went into the daughters of men. Okay, so here's what he said based on the language. That verse 4, we link the two together. Like the Nephilim are the byproduct of what was going on in verses 1-3. But he says the language in Hebrew doesn't ultimately say that. It's... So he brought this up as another theory that the Nephilim were a group of people, like they were just a group of people, because it says they were the heroes of old, men of renown, right? Mm-hmm. So like these were mighty men. He says the language could almost present that Moses is saying this is happening and God is not happy about it. So it could be the angel thing. It could be Cain and Seth, whatever it is. This is happening. And then what he's doing by bringing up the Nephilim is trying to get the original Hebrew writers to understand, hey, you know who these Nephilim are, but that's not this. Like, he's kind of making it out like they would have known who the Nephilim were, right? Like, back then, they would have known. Mm-hmm. We don't. So what he was saying is that maybe what Moses was doing was saying, hey, you guys know how you guys are putting these guys on their pedestal? Like, they're these great, you know, like... whatever, like he's basically making a comparison, like they're not the same thing. Quit thinking they're the same thing. He's like separating the two, mm-hmm. which then fits better into the narrative. They were there before the flood. They were there after the flood. Like they were just part of the DNA of humanity, and it just continues. He didn't go into a lot of that, so please understand, like, there's holes to that. But he was just saying, when you look at the language, it doesn't automatically say Nephilim equal this. He's saying the language more actually presents this is happening, and when it was happening, yeah, the Nephilim were on the earth, but they're not the same ones. Mm. Right? Like, mm-hmm. he's making a reference. Like, because you got to think, Moses is writing to, he's writing Genesis actually when the Israelites are getting ready to go take over the land. Like, so the Nephilim is something in their thought process. Like, because you just said it. When they go in for numbers, and they're like, we're like grasshoppers before them. Mm-hmm. So again, he didn't go and flesh that one out a little bit, but it was the first time I had ever heard that. I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like, what was Moses trying to communicate to the Israelites? Mm-hmm. See, we read it for like, what's it mean for me? What was he trying to communicate to the Israelites? Right. I don't know. It's just, it was just an interesting take.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Things that make you go, hmm. You know? So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
You look like you have some more thoughts, Tyler.
I just think this is a beautiful example of one of those things that we will just get to know someday. Not today. I hope so. Like we can really talk about it, and it's not bad. Like it's not bad to come up with or to have the theories, and but I do look forward to hopefully one day fully understanding because it is confusing. Mm-hmm. But depending on depending on how you read the text, yeah, the Nephilim are kind of set apart from the when the text says sons of God. The Nephilim were on the earth when the sons of God, it's just kind of separate the way that it is written in the text. So yeah, are sons of God different from the Nephilim?
I think another thing that I thought was interesting is there's this assumption like the Nephilim were a race of people. Mm-hmm. That was another thing, going back to the meaning of the name, fallen ones, or that word fallen one, actually, again, going back, that's why I like listening to people that are smarter than I am. Because, again, this Hebrew theologian from, I can't remember what college he was from, but he said that fallen one doesn't necessarily always have to mean fallen, like you have fallen from grace. He said the word could actually create the idea of heaviness or weight, like almost like tyrants. Like these could have, the Nephilim could have been, you know, tyrants. They could have been like great leaders or warlords, and they basically their rule was suppressive. I mean, so it opens up this like so many different thoughts, but it goes back to what Tyler was saying. Like at the end of the day, it's fun to talk about, but we're not going to know.
Yeah.
Here's what we do know. And this is why I just want to say this real fast. Here's what we do know. It doesn't necessarily matter who the Nephilim was. It doesn't matter who the sons of God are. Here's what matters. The world was wicked. Mm-hmm. Like there was a corruption. So whatever's going on here, it was a perversion of what God wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important. Like there was a corruption. There was a rejecting God's good order. And the world was broken beyond repair. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the ultimate life thing. Whether mm-hmm. it was the Nephilim, whether it was angels hooking up with women, like, I mean, just saying, like,
yeah,
you know,
like beyond our comprehension of today, like what the amount of corruption that was happening during this time in Genesis is, I just think it could just be unfathomable.
Do you think it was worse than the amount of corruption that's happening now?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're rapidly moving that way. But there's a big difference between now and then from my perspective. The difference between now and then is the church exists in the world. Ooh. So we're a, you know, like
light
a
light in the dark.
Yeah. And that we're kind of also
city on a hill.
We're kind of also a, I don't know how you want to word it, but like we're a stopgap, you know, because this is the Holy Spirit's in the world. Mm-hmm. Like he's indwelling us. Mm-hmm. So God's presence, I think, is a lot different within our world now than it was then. So that's where I think, yeah, if that wasn't the case, because that's also when you talk about end times, like there's the theory, does the Holy Spirit, like when the church get raptured, like, so in a pre-rapture or pre-tribulation rapture, if that's what happens, mm-hmm. does the Holy Spirit go with us?
Ooh.
Because that's one theory, is yeah. that then allows lawlessness.
How scary.
Yeah. Yeah. But no matter what,
I never thought about that.
You think about what the world, whether the Holy Spirit still remains, just the removal of all true believers is going to, I mean, the wickedness, like there's nothing to hold it back anymore.
But also, there are plenty of people who, on the surface, wouldn't seem wicked because they're good people. They do good things in the world, but they just don't love the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. That's interesting.
But see, I think that's
sorry, where, that's probably going off on a whole nother tangent.
Yes and no, because that's the thing we have to wrestle with, because as human beings, we look at people that we know that don't even know Jesus, and we all do it. What's a good person?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a good person until the circumstances change.
True.
This is one of the reasons, and not to digress into this, but I really enjoy like apocalyptic movies and shows like we've talked about, like The Walking Dead. I used to love that show, not for the zombies. I love the commentary of human nature and like how you can take good people, and when they're placed in a survival, like they become wicked.
It's very Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, that's a great example, right?
So, shout out to high school English class or whatever.
I've actually been tempted to watch that. I've seen it on Netflix or somewhere. I should watch that. But that's the thing is we do that. We say, well, they're a good person. Well, yeah, everybody you could say is a good person until the right circumstances, and then you're not good anymore because it'll come out, you know.
Yeah. So. Shout out to Mr. Norgren.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. In his boots.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. I loved his class. Okay, so can I do have a couple questions.
Okay.
Is it okay to move on to that, or was there something else you wanted to discuss first before questions?
No, I can, if it comes up at some point, I had a thought, but it has nothing to do with the Nephilim. So.
Okay. So someone wanted to know, do you believe that the Nephilim are still in existence today?
Tyler.
Who are the giants that, no, I'm just kidding.
Right?
Andre the Giant was
one. Yeah.
He's a descendant of Goliath.
This is how our staff meetings get so off track sometimes. Do I believe that they still exist today? I believe that it's entirely possible, but I just wouldn't know what I was looking at if I saw.
You'd just be like, Andre the Giant!
Yeah. But it is, I would say it's entirely possible under God's creation that, that such a thing could exist and we would just have no idea what or who it is. Mm-hmm. And I love that part of the mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what would we talk about if we didn't have these mysteries, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if the theory that it was angelic beings intermarrying with humanity and asking the question, does it still exist today? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God actually caused it to stop. Like, he might not have, so I'm not trying to say this as a, I'm just going back to what Tyler's saying. I don't know. I have no clue, you know? We jump to these conclusions very quickly.
You just want a yes or no answer, Pastor?
Yeah. So, yes and no.
Right.
I got it. Jesus.
Huh?
Moses. Jesus. God. Those are always three.
But you bring up a great point, though. We just want to simplify it so quickly because we want to control the narrative. Not to control it like we're in control, but just to comfort ourselves. And so that's another one I would say. Like, nowhere in here does it say that God stops it. Nowhere does it say that it says he wipes it out. Does that mean that it could still happen? Sure. I mean, it's above my pay grade. I'm not God, and I'm not on that spiritual level of things. You know, it's kind of like, again, we read things. So this passage in Genesis is another one where it says, this is where God makes the decision to do the flood. And he says, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120. That's actually, I've heard teaching about this that's absolutely wrong. Like a lot of people read that as, well, that's God changing the lifespan, right? That's not God changing the lifespan. That's him putting the timer on when the flood was going to happen. Like, that's the clock. So because we don't live over 120 anymore, most people say, well, that's when God said you'll never live to be over 120. That's not what that's God saying, I'll give you 120 years. And that's the clock. Like, Moses is telling us that like the idea of the flood wasn't this big surprise as we read into it. So I think that, you know, so again, we read into things and then we just kind of latch onto them. Like, cause again, go back to the giants thing. Yeah. The word can mean giants, but again, we don't know that. So again, we want to think giants today or big people today are like, well, are they possibly Nephilim? It's like, nowhere does it say that they were all giants. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an easy narrative. It's just easy for us to latch on it. And I think part of that is because we read what the Israelites said. You know, like, oh, we went in and saw the promised land and they're the descendants of the Nephilim. They're like giants we're like grasshoppers to them. That doesn't necessarily mean size difference. They could basically
numbers
or like their armies are so much vast than mm-hmm. us, like their weaponry. Like, that statement was a statement out of fear. Mm-hmm. So anybody in fear, we start.
And could it have been hyperbole a little
bit? Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, when we read the Bible, we got to be really careful not to read it just as straight. Like, that's exactly what it meant. That's why I like the idea of put yourself into it. Like, mm-hmm. if you were full of fear, if you were spreading disinformation, fake news, you know?
How do we know when the Bible is using hyperbole and when it's literal? I know this is kind of way off topic, but I feel like this is something that comes up a lot.
I think with what we're doing, like honest like this, I think it's reading it in context, right? So mm-hmm. not just taking face value. Like, I read it once and I understand what it's saying.
Right.
Read it more than once. Read context. I think put yourself into the position, not just put yourself in the original hearers, but also the people saying it. Like, so like, take that for instance. If I was one of the Israelites that was a spy, what would I have been thinking? Like, mm-hmm. what would have been my, so if I'm fearful and I'm not trusting God. And
we're so dramatic now too. We are so dramatic. They were probably dramatic too. Yeah.
And I think just this, the discussion part, discuss it. Mm-hmm. Like, hear different theories. Like I said, go back to the Nephilim. When I listened to that professor, I sat there, like, it was a good 30-minute video. Mm-hmm. It was dry as all get out because mm-hmm. he was just this monotone professor. Mm-hmm. But it was unbelievably enlightening. Because he was pulling out like language stuff that I was like, I never considered that before. That's crazy.
The language is really important to me, I think, to fully understand. And I think that's why it's important for, I think about my brother who is a pastor as well and has spent years studying the Hebrew language, Greek language, and reading texts outside of the Bible that help speak into context, to speak into word meaning and word use, to know when it's appropriate to assume literal versus not, and so just being well versed in the original language is extremely important as well.
I think a big part of it also is don't get so hung up on things that don't deal with your salvation. all of the Bible is important, right? But at the end of the day, there are certain sections of the Bible, like, again, what did the spies really mean, right? Does that change the truth of my salvation, like what the gospel is? Like, we and that's where I say I think we shut down sometimes and just have the conversation. Like, it's okay for me to say I don't know, but I think this. Mm-hmm. That's a cool point. Like,
yeah,
I think a lot of people just draw these very hard lines, and it's like, knock that off.
Yeah.
Because.
So here's the other question that someone had. So if we believe that they were fallen angels, angels are spiritual beings, right? Mm-hmm. So that would have meant that angels had to have some sort of reproductive systems.
Okay.
Right?
Are you asking us?
I'm asking.
Look under the skirt.
Yes. Of a But I mean, you know, how does that
on the list of things I didn't think I would be asked today?
Listen, it's not my question, but I stand with it because it is a question. Like, how?
So here, okay, and I mean,
it's a great question.
I don't want to be the first one to jump in all the time, so
because you don't want to answer that. Yes. Here you go, Tyler.
You take the medical
questions. We're throwing him under the bus.
So I would, I've divert to.
This is why we really invited him.
Divert to Ecclesiastes that.
Just type it into chat right now.
No.
Not Deuteronomy, the secret things.
This is Ecclesiastes 10. A fool multiplies words. Though good no stuff. Man knows what is to be. And I find that very true when it comes to like talking about things you have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I could ramble on some answer that maybe even makes sense to some people.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. But it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
So God put this, made it part of his story mm-hmm. for a reason. But I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess this always for me comes back to this question: when who Satan is, and how he was a fallen angel and tempted Eve, because sin wasn't in the world yet, but yet he acted in a sinful way. Mm-hmm. So they're on a different level. Are they judged differently? Like how? I have so many questions about that. And so same here, if they were really fallen angels and they were acting in this way, they don't have souls like we do. So I'm so confused.
Yeah. I don't know how that works. As far as when you use the word soul, see, that's where it's hard because there's so many, so their soul, spirit, like yeah, what's
but they
what.
Also long to be like us.
Well, yeah.
So they, I don't know. And so they there's also something about them.
Well, they're also going to endure the same judgment that fallen humans will. Like, so unsaved. So they're okay. All going to end up in the same place. Like, you know, the lake of fire is
where do we read that?
Revelation.
The angels are judged.
Well, Satan and his, I mean, so Satan.
Okay, sure, you know, sure.
So yeah, like yeah, when yeah. God judges all things. So, okay. So I guess it's a, I guess it's
an assumption. And Jude.
And a blanket statement.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says it in Jude too. It says, okay. right after he talks about the angels not staying in their proper position, at the end of that paragraph, it says, they serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire.
Ooh, okay.
So
yeah,
Jude kind of just puts another
puts a stamp on that.
Yeah, puts okay. another stamp on that they will receive the same judgment.
So this
that's
is
so interesting to me.
So, and that's what's interesting.
Because they don't have the option to, that Jesus's blood doesn't atone for them.
No, because so, the biggest thing is they're not created in the image of God.
Right.
So that's the biggest difference, in my opinion. Again,
but some angels will be with us.
Well, the ones that never left their okay. abode. Man, so
my
speak.
Head's about to explode. I mean,
and then how do we know that? Well, we know that from Revelation yeah. 2, because Revelation, not to the chapter, but Revelation, is we have John seeing the future, where he's seeing the church gathered before the throne of God, and mm-hmm. he's talking about angels crying right. out to one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, so there's like this massive heavenly party
yeah.
of that, you know. I mean, you go back to like the original question about the reproductive stuff. It really comes down to this to me. For me, the Bible doesn't say.
Yeah.
So either way is an assumption. Again, we base it all off what Jesus says. Jesus says, you will be like the angels in heaven who do not give in marriage or are given in marriage. Once again, we make a leap to say, well, that means they don't reproduce, or not that they don't reproduce, but we make a leap on how God created them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. Jesus didn't say that.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't say they don't have offspring. He says they don't marry. Then to have, so yes, they don't reproduce, but mm-hmm. they don't marry
mm-hmm.
when they stay within their abode.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a, we don't know. It's, yeah. it's assumption.
Well, and either then way. I'm like, did the women, like if it was fallen angels, did the women that were mating with them, did they know
it?
They were angels? Or was it like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of like Twilight and vampires.
No, what you need to think about
and
is
she knew. Bella knew.
What's the old 90s movie with Meg Ryan and Nicolas Cage? Is it City of Angels?
Ooh, yeah.
Isn't that it? Where he was an angel?
Yeah.
That forsook his position because he loved
ooh,
her.
Ooh, yeah.
And then she dies at the end.
Huh. Spoiler alert.
So, Again, it's all
seen that
speculation.
Movie.
It's crazy.
Speculation.
And then I'm like, you said earlier, Tyler, maybe these are things we're going to know someday. But also, like, then I'm like, are we going to even care? But then I'm like, I really want to know now. And so I want to know then, but I don't know if I'm going to know because I'm not going to care.
Listen, can I just
like
say,
I go in this circle.
I tracked 100% with that. But that sounded so much like Paul in Romans. I do what I don't want to do, but I don't do what I want to do. Like, that is
yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, thank you for comparing me to Paul.
Well, that's all that went through my head was like, we are.
I'm going to take that and run with it.
We are on the I know, but I don't know, want to know.
Yes.
Will we know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That is so true. Oh, man.
Nephilim.
Did we just talk in circles this whole time?
Pretty much.
I feel like we covered the bases.
Pretty much. We've covered the Nephilim.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day,
yeah.
These are the different views.
Yeah.
Fall where you fall, but yeah. It really doesn't matter.
Here's what I would say. Yeah, this
love,
is the last
love
thing I would
Jesus.
Say.
Yes.
When it
yes.
comes to the Nephilim part, this is the danger of it. Don't believe everything you listen on YouTube.
Right.
Like, don't, mm-hmm. you know, because we didn't talk about this. And just real quick, one of the reasons that the theory of it being fallen angels, and I'm not saying this proves it by any means, so please nobody take it this way. Mm-hmm. But that's what the Book of Enoch actually says. Like, Enoch goes into detail. Now, the first thing, and I'll say it too, well, that's not a Bible book. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But it is a book that is outside of the Bible, mm-hmm. but it is a book that's referenced in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to say we take that as gospel truth. So
right.
Nobody take that. But it's an ancient writing.
And that it says was part, that they were angels.
Oh, yeah. There's like a lot of, like, he goes into great detail about that was what it was.
Okay.
So it's a book that's, again, it's never been part of the Hebrew Bible, but it was mm-hmm. a book that was part of Hebrew. So what I would have classified to is that book, the Book of Enoch for the Hebrews, would have been like one of the books we get that's not biblical, but we, you know, like, well, I read this Francis Chan book.
Who was Enoch?
Well, see, that's where it's up in the
air.
He's
not the same Enoch that never died, right?
And that's why it's up in the air.
Okay.
Like, there's not a lot of, there's mystery to it still.
Okay.
So, I've read the book once. Like, a long time ago, I read the book, and it's really interesting.
Very interesting.
It's a very interesting book. So, again, I'm not sharing that, but I think that's where that also that theory has really got a
sure,
lot of emphasis.
Yeah.
Is that there's an ancient historic part of Israel's history
mm-hmm.
that has that spoken into it. So
very interesting.
Yeah. So anyways, Nephilim.
Final thoughts? Anything else you guys want to add?
I don't know. How long has our podcast been going?
We are at about 45 minutes.
Okay.
So, I mean, look at us go. I mean, kind of proud of us, actually.
We can totally be done with this. I'm not bringing it up. Uh-huh. I mean, I did make reference that I was more than happy to reference where dinosaurs fit into all
of
this.
Oh, yeah. You were going to say that. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
I want to know.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is my 100% my view. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs were on the ark.
Yes.
Dinosaurs did not exist millions of years ago before man. Because again, to believe that, you're throwing out all of
creation.
What we've been going through.
Right.
But the problem is people say things like, well, how do you get these huge dinosaurs on the, he took the small ones.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that, it's really not that hard if you think about it.
Weren't all the animals babies?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't take a full size elephant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't take full size. You take young ones. Mm-hmm. And the other problem is this is what I love about the Ark Encounter.
It's so good.
It is, because they go into a lot of this.
They tell you how they got rid of the animals' poop.
Yeah, there's some cool theories
that's
of that.
That's so
like,
interesting.
Yeah, and I remember one of the coolest ones I saw in there was how it shows how they could have built it for fresh air, like because of the vents in it and like the water like shooting up. And I was like, that is so amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were smart.
Listen, if anybody's listening, you've never gone, it's worth
it.
It
is worth it, yeah.
You know, because even when you get to the top level where they show what their living compartments could have been like there, I thought, I never thought about this before. Mm-hmm. I never thought about where they stayed. Anyways, but that's another thing that people say is like, well, how did Noah get all these different species on there? Well, he didn't. He didn't need to. You know, if you think about it, one species of canine over time, you get all the different breeds. You get wolves, mm-hmm. you get, you know, coyotes, you get... It's not that he had to take every single, mm-hmm. you know. So I think one estimate that I remember hearing is that based on the size of the ark and based on what they would need, if I remember right, again, don't hold me to this, but I'm pretty sure I heard that there was enough room that he could have taken 45,000 animals.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It is. So that's a lot of space mm-hmm. that we don't, you know.
Yeah. Well, so, and also, sorry, no. Going back to the whole dinosaur thing,
yeah.
is there are creatures referenced in the Bible mm-hmm. that could fit mm-hmm. dinosaur stature mm-hmm. and, like, magnificence. Mm-hmm. And so I always love reading that in the Bible because I'm like, yes, like, here's our evidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and there's, because then that's the argument, or not, well, the debate back is just like, well, then what happened to the dinosaurs? Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's twofold. I think that after the flood, the earth changed so much that it couldn't sustain life the same way it did before, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I think that there was a change in how dinosaurs could grow, how big they could get, mm-hmm. how, you know, because everything changed. The atmosphere right. changed. Everything changed.
And God could do what he wanted.
God like, can do what he wants.
He had a plan, yeah. even for these animals.
Yeah. And so this is where people... So I love when I meet with the youth. So mm-hmm. every year I we
you
do
You get this question every
I
get year. This,
and I love it yeah. every time because they'll look at me like, you're odd. Like, that's odd.
Well, I but mean, then, to be fair, you I probably know. Get that look a lot.
Every Sunday, church. Every Sunday.
It's mostly just me in the front row.
Yeah. Yeah. Every... The disdain from my associate pastor. But here's where I love how we have turned mythological things. All throughout human history, dinosaurs are talked about before the word mm-hmm. dinosaur was ever created. They're called dragons. Mm-hmm. Every culture has stories of dragons. The problem is we've turned dragons into, oh, that's what's on Game of Thrones. That's the flying, mm-hmm. you know. No, dragon is like, a big lizard. It's a big, you know, and you think about all the stories out there that we've turned into mythology. How many villages have stories of a hero that went out and fought a dragon? Mm-hmm. How many, you know, and so I think the atmosphere, I think the world changed. And then I think man just killed them off. Mm. I think man, you know, and there's evidences, right? You can look at old pottery and they got drawings of, you can look at old ruins and they got images of dinosaurs.
Yeah, and fossils.
And fossils, yeah.
We have fossils. And, lots of them. And bones.
Well, and the other one that I remember I was talking, I think it was you and I were talking once about this, that one of the things that was like a linchpin for me, because like it's small, but it's like, yeah, duh. Like the Chinese culture is mm-hmm. one of the oldest cultures that's in existence of human history, mm-hmm. right? It's been around forever. The Chinese culture has their calendar, right? So what is it? Made up of 12 animals. Mm-hmm. You ever notice how it's like the year of the rat, the year of yep. the dog? It's all animals. It's
the year of the horse,
right?
In case anybody cared.
Well, here's what's interesting. One of the animals included in the year, the Chinese calendar, is a dragon. Mm-hmm. So they chose 11, like they literally chose a rat mm-hmm. to be one of the years.
Yeah.
And then they choose this mythological animal that doesn't exist.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's like, no, they chose 12 real
yes.
animals mm-hmm. to represent the years. And so I just think there's so much evidence that's not even biblical mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. shows that dinosaurs still exist. Yep. I mean, when I say still exist, like, listen, I'm still holding out Loch Ness is real. I mean, I'm cool if it is, you know.
But I mean, we don't I know think what's they're in gonna, the ocean. Do we think they're going to be there on the new Earth?
I know your son wants to ride one.
I know. So. Well, I'm just saying. So if you ever have read Randy Alcorn's Heaven, mm-hmm. there's a kid's version that is incredible. And I would actually recommend that for adults, too, because it just is so it simplifies everything. Like the possibilities of what we're going to get to do on the new Earth are endless. Mm-hmm. And that is so like that was so exciting for me and it was so exciting for my son because you know we get this like you've said before people think heaven's going to be boring and we're just going to sit around and like mm-hmm. sing and play harps or whatever like all the images we've seen in culture but it's going to be amazing and yeah I think it's possible we might get to ride dinosaurs
yeah
explore space and maybe even teleport.
I'm holding out for teleportation.
Yes. I mean, it's in the Bible.
I'm sorry. Like, I am holding out for, hey, let's go check out Mars.
I would never discount that. Yeah. Yeah.
I am so for that. Mm-hmm. Like, so for that.
Yeah. God can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
We're so, we live in such a limited existence here that I don't think our brains can even fathom.
Yeah.
You know, like we've heard colors, that there's probably other colors we don't even know.
Yeah.
And like, how cool is that?
Oh, yeah. The thought of that one for me is like, so just the thought of like, and the idea of like blue, like probably, you know, navy blue is my favorite color.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's a beautiful color, but it's just like, but it's in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. So what's it?
It's muted.
Yes. Like, what does it look like? Like, what can we see?
Mm-hmm.
Or not see that we'll be able to, I don't know. It's just so cool to think about.
Yes.
That's so cool. You know?
Yeah. It's like we already get like God and to be in his, like in his presence. And then we're going to get all these other, like, it's just so crazy to me. Like what a gift.
Yeah. It is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should be excited.
We should. Well, and that's, and as we're talking about this, not just about heaven, I just, this is another thought that I just want to share, because I think it's amazing, and maybe nobody else cares, but I love the evidence, even for the flood. Did you guys know that they actually have a fossil? You can look it up. There's a picture of this. There's an actual fossil they have found that was, it was buried while the animal was giving birth.
Wild.
So yeah, you can actually see, like, it's, I don't remember what type of animal it is. It's not like one that is around today, but I looked it up and you can see the picture of like, so that means that animal died extremely suddenly and got buried and petrified as a fossil as it was giving birth.
That's wild.
Yeah. And when I say the, like, it's not just, oh, here's the mom and here's the baby underneath it. It's like literally halfway through the process.
Mm.
And it's like, I think about that.
Are you Googling it right now, Tyler?
Yes. I'm a geek for this kind of stuff.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Hello,
so that's
show
what
me.
I love when people say the flood couldn't happen. It's like, that means something insanely, you know, insane happened.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I geek out on that stuff too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's...
Well, because one thing I don't think you've mentioned on Sundays as we've talked about the flood narrative is we don't even know, right, if people even had experienced rain.
Because
they were in
a
desert. Like, they didn't know. So just it makes this whole idea of building an ark even more outlandish.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, like you said, the span of time that it took him.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the amount of... you got a picture?
An ichthyosaur? Yeah. Is that...
That's, so you can see it?
I can't see it because of the...
Oh, yeah.
I'll look at it later. But the amount of, like people against him and questioning, and his own family, I'm sure, questioning him. And, like, it was preposterous.
Oh, it was, it would have been foolish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, and this is where, again, not to... Because this podcast... You said it could go 2 hours. because I did bring it up early in the series. I am a firm believer that when God created the earth... Like, we were encased in
Of water, which was so fascinating, you know? To me.
And that's where the theory comes from, is that the flood, that's where the... So when the Bible says the floodgates of heaven opened, like, that was God. Like, so if that was true, then rain didn't exist anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So even the thought of rain, it wasn't even just that they were in a place that didn't rain. There was no rain because the Bible talks about it, there was a mist.
Yeah.
That, so it's like a big atrium.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this concept of like rain and flooding and the whole concept of it
was so foreign.
Like, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that's one of the reasons I hope she's in heaven, like Eve, because I want to be like, Eve, why didn't you ask God to define evil for you? Like, listen, because they wouldn't have known what that, like, you will know the difference between good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't tell me they sat there going, like, yeah, evil. You know, they were...
You don't
more
think
like,
he put that in, like, that idea in them?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you understand something that you don't... Like, if you have... If your nature has no concept of it...
That's a good...
How can you know what it is? So, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, these are some of the questions I have, is like...
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have not desired it and, like, maybe asked what it was. Like, what is this? I don't know. Mm-hmm. All theory.
We have so many questions. Yeah. So many.
Well, and I would say this for anybody listening. If you hear stuff like this and you're like, oh, that makes my head hurt. Or like, oh, that's too many questions.
Yeah.
Don't get overwhelmed with that, because that's what I love. The more you study the Bible. Yeah. The more you study the Bible, the more you're going to have questions and you're going to love it. Yeah. Like, honestly, a lot of people avoid it because it's like, oh, that's too much for me. And mm-hmm. I have more I don't knows than I do answers.
Yes. The more you study and read, the more you realize you don't know, which is actually a relief in a way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You know how there's jokes about it now, but like how many clicks away you are on any one Wikipedia page from another. Sometimes I feel that way on like Bible Hub when I'm mm-hmm. when I'm investigating, studying a particular word, because you look at this word and it gives you another word. It's like, well, I gotta go find out what that one is, and then oh, here's this iteration of it, and just dive in. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's amazing. When I first started, I remember so many times coming into David's office like, dude, have you seen this before? Would like come running in with my Bible or something.
Oh, and I do that to him too.
It's just great.
He walks in the door. I'm like, David, I have a Bible question.
And I'll be like, yep.
So, I mean, also, I just want to say to those of you listening, like, when you have questions that come up, write them down. And here's the thing. Between David, Tyler, myself, probably the elders too, like, we love talking this kind of stuff. So 100%. Hit us with your questions. Email us. Yeah. Stop us after church or whatever, because it's so fun.
Yeah, hit up the podcast.
Yeah.
I love it when you said, we have listener questions. We have listener questions.
Sweet.
The people want to know things.
We get fan mail.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. Oh, crap.
Fan is just a shortened word of fanatic. Yeah. I don't know if Ooh. are there people are there podcast fanatics out there?
No. It's a good place to like.
If there was a podcast worthy of fanatics, it'd be this one.
It is this. This one today specifically.
Yes, because you're here, Tyler.
Hey, I didn't say it.
I mean, it's been a good day.
It has been.
You compared me to Paul. Tyler's here. We know how the dinosaurs fit.
That's how they fit.
And our understanding of Nephilim remains clear as mud.
Yes, exactly.
It is. I love it.
Same. It's great. Yeah.
All right. Are we good? Do you feel like you've covered everything you want to cover?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm just having a mental thought right now that we're going to get to heaven. Moses would be like, I just threw that in there to screw with you. He's like, I asked God. He was cool with it.
You dog.
Oh, man.
He's like, that's just a nickname my wife gave me. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Tyler, thank you for joining us. Very short notice, just jumping in.
Happy to anytime.
Yes. I knew you would be. Yeah. I appreciate that. All right. So Sunday, we are still talking flood staff.
We're going to be talking, them coming out.
Okay. Ooh, okay. So New Covenant.
We'll get into some of New Covenant. Might talk some rainbow stuff.
Okay.
So
are we getting Vineyard?
No.
Noah's Vineyard? No. Okay.
No, we're not.
Is that the next
podcast? We can do the podcast about what we can do. Like.
Oh, man. That's a whole other... jump into.
I'm not opposed to preaching anything in the Bible, but I just don't know where to go with a sermon with it.
I know. That's what I love about, reading or covering a whole book.
Yeah.
Because there are going to just naturally be verses and sections that wouldn't naturally come up in a sermon that you have to bump up against and deal with.
Yeah.
And so, we might just have
someday
to deal with
I'll
it.
Preach on
okay.
Noah's vineyard. Okay.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go read
it.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.